invite you to turn your Bibles, will, to Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. We continue to look at the faithfulness of our Lord Jesus Christ and going through these passages that mention about such and different aspects about how the faithfulness of our Lord Jesus Christ instructs us and speaks unto us. And here in this passage, we see yet another facet, all of these related, all of these connected, but yet they do, the Lord speaks to us about different things in our lives and our service and walk with Him. Here in Revelation chapter 14, verse number 12, the Scripture says, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith, the faithfulness of Jesus." We see here that these that are the saints of the Lord, they keep the commandments of God, they are patient in that, and they keep the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. And how is it that we keep the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, I pray the Lord will help us in this morning. Now, the faithfulness of our Lord, again, it does us well to consider about our Lord daily. Every day, many times a day, our Lord faithful in every whit and every way, from the beginning unto the end, which really there is no end, is there? It's eternal with our Lord. And that is something that needs to motivate us and compel us to walk with our Lord in every way. We believe as Olmsted Baptist Church and Baptists in the historic faith that we've been given by our Lord, that the saints of the Lord do persevere. And I think that that's what this passage is speaking about and what we can gain from it. I invite you to turn your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 10. Our Lord Jesus here preparing the apostles to send them out. And understand that this word is given to the apostles, but the apostles indeed are a witness and a testimony unto you and I that are members here and of Olmsted Baptist Church and members of the Lord's kind of churches. They are the first leadership in the Lord's church, and what the Lord gave them is what they were to teach to those in that day and continue to teach unto us. It says here in Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 1, and this morning we're going to, really it's just going to be reading of a couple passages here, and these passages are very clear and they speak unto us about this subject. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God, and if you will, keep the faith of Jesus. It says here in Matthew 10, verse number 1, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples," or the apostles, that is, Jesus called them, "he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying." And so here we have the command of our Lord going out to his children, going out to these disciples, the apostles, and he's given them a particular mission to do. He's instructing them regarding that. But understand, just because this comes to the 12 apostles, it is not only directed at them. We can gain much understanding and the wisdom of our Lord, as Brother Stephen touched on this morning, from hearing what our Lord Jesus says. Listen to what he tells them. "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not." Now that's specific for them, because you and I know from the Great Commission, we are to go into all the world. Okay, "but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." That was their assignment. "And as ye go," now this applies to us all, "preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick," which we no longer do, "cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. that those were things that were given unto them, and you and I know that because we have the Word of God, there's not a need for instant miracles wrought at the Lord's people's hands. Okay, so that's past why, because we've got the Word of God. What's it say here? Freely as ye have received, freely give. Now that's on you and me. Okay, that's we have that. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, preparation for that time, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And that was something that was for right then. The Lord later on in his ministry, as he sends them out and prepares them there before the fulfilling of his gospel, he changes that and he gives what you and I have today. But that was something specific for them. But this is for us. And into whatsoever city or town ye enter, shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. The receiving of the Word of God, as we would have it in our day. Those that wish to receive it, give unto them. Those that reject it, preach unto them the gospel, and then move on. And when you come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. If it be not worthy, let your peace return unto you. And this worthiness is talking about reception. Okay, reception. It's not talking about an estimation where we say, well, it's not going to work here, see you later. But it's receiving or not, okay? And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. And we may face that, and even our missionaries face that in their day. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And the Lord keeps track of those things. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. That's not changed. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. We've seen this and know this historically early on in our country, and in many martyrs that it's been documented about the things that they faced from the time of the apostles and between that time and our time today, even along in the world today, there are the Lord's people that are suffering for the cause of the Lord. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. The apostles were, and in days of persecution, the saints are. It's just that way. It may lay in store for you and me. We have been so blessed in our country and our land. It may be for us. We just don't know. We need to be faithful where we find ourselves. Verse 19. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. And we trust in that, don't we? We need to. We need to be filling up on the Word of God, that the Lord has something to use and work with in our hearts. And if we are, what is it that the brother tells Brother Timothy, I think it is, be ready to give an answer. Be instant, in season, when you would expect it, and out of season. Be ready to give an answer of the hope that lieth within you, the individual. For it is not ye that speak, verse 20, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And so the Lord directs, there needs to be a trust. There needs to be a resting in trust. Be real hard, taken by the authorities, or by those that would look to persecute us, not to think about the answer that we would give. But we're not to. We're to be praying, asking our Lord to fill us with what we need to speak. Verse number 21. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. We honestly cringe at that. But you know what? It's come to pass. And it can come to pass in the future. Israel was told by her Lord that in her disobedience and his judgment and chastisement upon her that they would do and resort to some very wicked things, even the devouring of their own children. And you know what? They did. they did. It's the record is in the Scripture. Verse 22, this is our target for this passage. And ye shall be hated of all for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. The perseverance of the saints. I believe and take this to be a very much a parallel passage to what we read there in Revelation 14:12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Here, nestled in this chapter, between this that the Lord has told and instructed the apostles and what he has warned them in advance about things that would come to them, he tells them, it's going to be to the point that you'll be hated of men for my name's sake. We're not to go out to look for people and make people to hate us. But I tell you what, standing for the Lord and the truth of the Lord will cause some to do so. There will be those that will hear. There will be those that will be stirred and touched. There will be the those that the Lord will save. But there will be those that will full well reject the word of the Lord. And what's he say here? He that endureth to the end shall be saved. The saved of the Lord are indeed reckoned because they do endure. They do go to the end, faithful unto their Lord. And Brother Stephen in the Sunday school class, and if you've not been in Sunday school, you're really missing a wonderful teaching about the book of Job. Look at Brother Job. He lost it all in the world. He lost it all in the world. But he did not lose his Lord. He did not think that he was hearing from his Lord. And an answer and a help for his situation in the time that he suffered those things and this dialogue between him and his supposed friends. He didn't hear from the Lord in those things. But you know what? He did cleave to his Lord. His Lord was the answer. His Lord was the one that could give him help. Indeed, he continued to believe that his Lord was the one that could deliver him. And in time, he'll come to understand, and you and I can come to understand by that book of Job there in the Old Testament, that our Lord has a working and a plan for his children. And you know what? The working and that plan of our Lord and his children for some may not be very pleasant on the flesh. May not be very pleasant and very much desired by this old man and this old body. But our Lord knows the best. Our Lord knows the best. None of us want to hurt. None of us want to be in want. None of us want to be challenged and have just the fret and have the challenges of life that we deal with even on a daily basis, as we see some in the Scriptures. Have you read there in the book of Hebrews and chapter 11 about those saints that are listed there at the end? What they suffered? It says there that some of them were destitute even of daily necessity and food. Some of them ran from the authorities and those that would persecute them, even naked, living in the earth, living in caves and hollows in the ground and such as that. Did our Lord do them wrong? Did our Lord treat them badly? That was what the plan of the Lord was for them. And you know what? The testimony there in that chapter is that they endured looking to their Lord. The subject of the chapter is faith, not in self, but our Lord. In verse 23, but when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. Our Lord doesn't say to fight in that way for his cause, but he says, go to the next place. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. Servants and followers of those do not attain to a higher place than those whom they follow. They will be like them, or they will be subservient to them. And so understand what Jesus is saying. You won't arrive to a greater place than me. And our whole hope and our whole blessing in the Lord is in him, is it not? What do we desire? Listen to what he says here. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master. That's the way that it is. And the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Satan, Beelzebub, and that's what they accuse Jesus of doing, casting out demons by the power of Satan, how much more shall they call them of his household? They'll run us down even farther than what they ran down the Lord. Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. Our Lord knows it. He's keeping a record. He's got a promise to his children. Will we have a hold of that, and will we press on for the sake of our Lord, living our lives, the rest of our lives for him? He says, what I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. That's our calling to the mystery and the ministry of the gospel in it. And that ye, what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Our reverence is to him. We don't fear our Lord in terror. The sinner should fear the Lord in terror. He is their adversary, not Satan. The adversary is the Lord. He is the judge that carries the sword of judgment, the truth of his word, and the sinner will not stand if he doesn't have Christ as Savior. Our Lord has delivered us from that. We don't fear him in that terror, but oh, he is a God to be reverenced and feared in that way as children, isn't he? He loves us, but he is a great and mighty and, in the understanding of the word, terrible God. He's not awful. He's never to the negative. But I tell you what, you and I need to see the glory of our Lord. He says, don't fear the ones that can just kill the body, but can't do a thing after that. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. You that are here and not saved, you need to listen to that. The Lord is the one that you need to fear and that you need to reckon with about your future. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? Very little sold for very little. And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. He knows about all. He says, children, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. You see that picture, Jesus, if you will, at the right hand of the Father there? We see, as Brother Stephen is stoned, the Lord Jesus stands up and the soul of Stephen carried on to be with the Lord at the death of his physical body. And Jesus is there before the Father standing, claiming him. He's mine, Father. He's mine. I'm bringing him home to us. It's a great hope that we have in our Lord, isn't it? I'll confess also before my Father, which is in heaven, the Father, which no man has seen, yet sitting on the right, sitting in the throne of glory, the Son is at his right hand. It's what the Scripture tells us. And Jesus there, in the most important place that ever has been and ever will be, the presence of God, says, he's mine. Says, she's mine. The perseverance of the saints. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. Get this straight, children. I've not come to bring peace. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. There'll be trouble there because of me, the Lord says. There'll be a division there because of me. The Lord says that We're right here, verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Love for the Lord is to be supreme. Don't put anybody before you and the Lord. That's what the Lord tells the child of God. And you know what? Those that persevere do just that. And he that taketh not his cross, his burden, his calling, his labor, as Jesus came and bore his cross for our sakes, that's what the Father gave him to do. You and I, as his children, have a burden to bear ourselves in following the Lord. A calling. A living for the Lord. A living for the Lord and rejecting this world and the way of the flesh and the thing that we would naturally desire. It's a cross of self-sacrifice. It's a cross of the death of the flesh. It's a cross to the death of the world, as Brother Paul declares in his epistles. He said he's died to everything because he's alive in Christ. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. That's what the Lord promises his children, is a cross. A cross. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. That's really plain, isn't it? Live your life for yourself and you will lose it indeed. But live it for the Lord. Every whit, every step, everything, you will find your life in your Lord indeed. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. As he talked about earlier about going into those cities and going into those houses, those that are worthy, they want to hear the message of the Lord. They want to hear the Word of God. The Lord works in them somehow, whether they be saints already that need to be taught, or they need to be sinners that are in need of Christ, and the Lord moving by His Spirit and convicting in that. If they receive us, they receive our Lord Jesus. If they receive our Lord Jesus, they receive the Father indeed. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Do you believe this? And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. The Lord's economy. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. The persevering saint says, God's way will work. And our Lord has better for us than anything this world can offer. Oh, Brother Jim, but it just seems so weak. It just seems so contrary to what we know. Yeah, that's right. That it might be by our faith in our Lord. Faith in Him. That what He says goes, even though it to this old flesh and these old eyes, it just does not make sense. To the way of the world, it's unconventional and not the right way to go. It's not the norm. Is what the Lord says true? Verse 22, and ye shall be hated of all for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. We come back to Revelation 14. And again, I believe this is parallel. And in this chapter, and in Matthew 10, our Lord gives us about life as the apostles and as we would deal with it and face it from that time that the Lord came and until the end of the age, I believe. But here in Revelation 14, we've got something that's declared right at the end, our text verse being number 12, where it says there, here's the patience of the saints. We saw that about verse 22 of Matthew 10, nestled in between instruction and instruction, promise and truth, all right there about the life of the child of God, the one that endures, the one that perseveres, will do so in their Lord, may face many things that the flesh is not going to want anything to do with, but that is the calling and the blessing of the Lord upon them. In Revelation 14, we come to this that speaks to us about the end. And this verse number 12 is nestled right in here. Here's the patience of the saints. Let's look. And I looked, verse number 1 of Revelation 14, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion. I believe Brother John is taking a look. He's being given a vision of things that are going to come forward. And the timing that the Lord has given John, he's showing him at this time what's coming up next. What's coming up next? Understand, it seems very much to me that the book of the Revelation is a ordered book. You don't have to worry about jumping all around to get the order of the book in its right place, in its right context. There are things that are mentioned and there are things that are foretold shortly about what's going to be talked about even more. Things that are told in the order that they are and then expansion of points. You just can't talk about everything all at the same time because we write serially and we understand from the written word in an order that's given to us in it. And so you can't talk about three subjects at the same time that are happening at the same time. And so here, I looked and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion. Where's that? That's in Jerusalem. That's there at the temple. That's there at the Mount of Olives and Mount Zion that is there west of the Temple Mount. And with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. So he tells about this 144,000, and we learn about them in Revelation 7. It's a subject for another day. It tells us there in Revelation 7 that there was a number that were sealed, and there were those angels that were given a thing to do, and the judgment of the earth, and the Lord's judgment upon mankind and the nations of the world, and dealing with his nation Israel to bring her. There's 12,000 out of each tribe of the children of Israel that are sealed unto this purpose that we see here in Revelation 14. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts, there in the throne room of God and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. They are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God and to the Lamb. We understand that these were martyred for the sake of their Lord. They were a witness unto the nation during the time of their life, called for this special calling and martyred unto the Lord and with him. John looking forward and an explanation given about them. And in their mouth was found no deceit, no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. A special group for a special calling. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth. The gospel goes out by the angel. It's yet declared in that time, that time of the end there upon the earth. It's them that dwell on the earth, and the gospel is proclaimed to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. So we are told there, judgment's coming. It's very near. It's very near. It's nearer than it's ever been before. Judgment has come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Verse 8, and there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, it's fallen, the great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The world system, it's told, is going to collapse. That which is civil, that which is religious, the way of man is done. The third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast in his image," speaking of Antichrist, I believe, and the image that was made unto him, very much like the image that Nebuchadnezzar made in that pursuit of self-worship and grandeur and praise, just like Satan said from the beginning, "I'm going to sit on the sides of the north. I'm going to be like the Most High." He's been given rope to try to let it and make it come to pass. And this is the best he can do. The third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever drinketh receiveth the mark of his name." Here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and that keep the faithfulness of Jesus. To see these things and to be in the midst and experience these things would be a terror-filled thing, wouldn't it? And it seems to me that in the time of the tribulation, there are those that will be saved at the proclamation of the gospel in that time. The Lord indeed working on the very least of working on Israel, his nation. These 144,000 come from somewhere. And they are believers and resters in Christ. What is it that the saints are doing? What is it that the saints are doing? They're waiting on their Lord. Even though these incredible things are taking place and these things that are going on there upon the earth and these angels that are declaring what they're declaring, there is a people there that are told, that are threatened, if you take the mark, you're going to be utterly destroyed. And we know from the Scriptures there are those that resist. The patience of the saints. The perseverance of the saints. They look to their Lord. They keep what? What do they have? They keep what God has said, his commandments. They obey him. They stay away from what he says to stay away from, and they keep and hold to the faithfulness of their Lord Jesus. The noise of these days, the noise of the coming of the Lord and the great shaking that the Scripture tells us that he's going to accomplish in these last days and all how he's going to do these things at the end will be beyond any great calamity that the world has ever seen. There'll be everything that stands, the Scripture says, will be shaken. That the things that are unshakable will be manifested, and that's the Lord and his salvation. I believe that's what that's talking about. Right here, nestled in the midst of this, listen to what it says. "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, John, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth." There are those from this point that are going to die in the Lord going forward. "Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Just as Jesus said, "Abide in me. Glorify the Father by bringing forth fruit." And the word of the Father is, the glorification of the Father and of the Son is that our fruit remain. These people have a testimony, don't they? "Their works do follow them. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And upon the cloud was one like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle." Seemingly it's referring to our Lord Jesus. "And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe." Is this the rapture? Is it going to be revealed? It tells us in Thessalonians that the man of sin and the coming of the Lord is not going to be till the man of sin is revealed. And what's that revelation? How much is he revealed? How much will he work? How much will it be? We understand things from the Scripture, but there are some things that are just not, we just can't get our, pin them down just right, can we? Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap. For the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud, one like unto the Son of Man, thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had the power over fire. And he cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth. For her grapes are fully ripe, listen, and the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and the blood came out of the winepress even to the horses' bridles by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Blood that ran that deep will run that deep. When the Lord's fury is meted out upon unrepentant sinners, and the indignation of wrath of God is poured up out upon these that are reaped by this other angel, the children of God will be looking to their Lord yet continually on. This is the patience of the saints. They cheerfully, consistently, endure what they have been given by the Lord to endure, looking unto their Lord, looking unto our Lord for deliverance that only He can deliver us by. Where can you and I go? Where can we physically go to be safe? Where can we take and hide to protect ourselves, our families, our children? I tell you what, there's no place, is there? But there is one. There is one. And that is our Lord Jesus Christ. He shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, the Lord tells us. But he that endureth to the end, the testimony will be that he's saved. The saved do endure to the end. They look to their Lord continually in everything. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God. Here are they that keep the faith of Jesus. The perseverance of the saints, their patience is that they endure, they wait on the Lord cheerfully, constantly, continually, enduring and waiting on Him. They endure patiently. They endure by obeying the commandments of their Lord. They endure by keeping the faithfulness of Jesus. What's that speak to? That what the Lord's given us to do, we are to do. What the Lord has done for us is true and steadfast and will never fail. What the Lord has given us in His Word is true, and everything else is a lie and wicked. He's been faithful for our sakes, and we indeed can rest and trust in Him always. Whether they live in this most climactic end of the age, or having lived at the beginning of time, they, the saints, wait on their Lord. What is it the Lord says in Deuteronomy 32:35? To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Have you been done dirty by the world because you're a child of God? The Lord will deliver us. Isn't that what Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, verses 7 and 8? And shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? He delivered Brother Job, didn't He? He delivered Brother Stephen. He delivered the other saints that we read, and I mentioned there in Hebrews 11. Well, whether we're delivered in this life and to continued life or not, we will be delivered. And you know what? The Lord will make it all right for the mistreatment and the maltreatment of the world toward his children. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry and day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? It may take a while, we think. Jesus says, I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith in him on the earth? Couldn't help but think about this subject. Is the song, It Is Well With My Soul. And Lord, haste the day when the face shall be scythe, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. How about you? How about you? You have patience and rest in your Lord? Consider the counterpoint of this. Those that are without Christ have perseverance unto nothing but death and destruction. Oh, they will persevere straight into death and separation from God eternally. You have no hope without the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. You have no help indeed. You have nothing but fear, like the Lord says, fear the one who, after he is killed, can take the body and the soul and destroy them eternally in hell and the lake of fire. Oh, the wicked do persevere unto destruction. Tell you what, repent of your sins and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The saints of God, by the blessing of our Lord, they persevere. They persevere unto the end. And the salvation of their Lord in them is revealed in that. Where's your patience? What are you looking to? Who are you trusting in? Do you keep the faithfulness of Jesus?